There are a lot of ways that people have looked at Jesus Christ through the years. Some have said that he was a prophet, that he was sent by God to give us information, usually about some coming event. Some say that he's just a great example. I mean, you look at his life and then you're supposed to live like he lived. And then some say, well, he was just a great teacher. He had such wise sayings. He would say things like do unto others and as you would have them do unto you, those kind of things. And that's just truths to be followed. But the question really is, who is Jesus Christ? When the religious leaders get Jesus into the room and they hate him and they want to put him to death, they don't ask him, are you a great teacher? They don't ask him, are you a prophet? They say, are you the Christ, the Son of God? And Jesus answers, yes. As we see this passage this morning, we're going to see Jesus as the Son of God, as the Messiah, as the Savior. And we want to thank God for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's remember where we are. Jesus was betrayed in the garden by Judas. He was arrested. And there were Roman soldiers. There were the Jewish temple guards. There were religious leaders. And they came and they got him. The disciples ran off just like Jesus said. He said they're going to strike the shepherd and the sheep are going to flee. And they said, no, we won't run off. And every one of them ran off. And he was taken to the home of a man by the name of Annas. We'll talk about it in just a second. The beginning of the six trials. And we're going to see that he endures these six trials for us. One of the things we want to remember is this. Because when you study the Bible, when you read it, you say, gosh, this is really bad. Some of the things they said and did to him, and some of the things, that's really, really bad. This is God's plan. God's plan is for Jesus to come to the earth and die on the cross, that he is the Son of God, that he would give his life as a ransom for us, that he came to die in our place to be our substitute, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. Last time we saw the beginning of the trials, Jesus was taken before the man named Annas. He was the former high priest. He is the father-in-law of the present high priest, who's named Caiaphas. He's a very powerful man. We saw last time the three denials by Peter. It was an amazing thing because Jesus was taken into the home of Annas, and Peter came in later, and he was in the courtyard, and as they let him in, this servant girl looked at him and said, you're not one of his disciples, are you? And Peter said, no, I'm not. And then later on, somebody came up and said, you're not one of his disciples. He said, no, I'm not. And then somebody else came up and said, hey, I think you cut the ear off one of my relatives. I think you're one of his disciples. And he said, no, I'm not, in the cock crowed. And Peter remembered that Jesus said, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And one of the other passages, and we saw it last week, one of the other passages, as soon as Peter said it the third time, it says that Jesus, apparently they were taking him out of the house, looked over at Peter and broke Peter's heart. As we continue this morning, there are several things I want you to think about. First of all, we want to review the trials. We want to see the second and third trials, which are found in Matthew and Luke. We're going to see Judas and his response, and then we'll actually see the beginning of the Roman trials. Now, we're just going to barely touch on that. It's going to take us just a little bit to go through this. Let's think about the trials that Jesus went through. There are six trials of Jesus, three before the Jewish people, three before the Romans. The Jewish trials were all religious in a sense. He's found guilty. He's declared to be the Son of God, and Jesus says, that's who I am, and they find him guilty. He goes before the Romans. There are three what we call civil trials, and through all of those, he's found not guilty. Now think about this. Before, go down to the next slide, before the Jewish trials, he stands before Annas, that's the individual. He then goes before Caiaphas, that's the informal group, and then he goes before the Sanhedrin, that's the third trial. That's the formal one, that's in the morning. The issue is, he is the Son of God. That's what they're charging him with. Because that's blasphemy. To claim that he's God is blasphemy, and they want to put him to death. That's the three Jewish trials. The three Roman trials, he goes to Pilate, then over to Herod, and then back to Pilate. And the issue there is not that he's the Son of God. The issue is that he is the King of the Jews. And we'll talk more about that, because realize that for the Romans, they could care less whether he was a god or not. Because they had a lot of gods. But they would care if he claimed to be the king, because there only is one supposed to be one king, and that's Caesar. As we study these trials, we're going to see these two different issues and how they fit together. Let me remind you of the first trial. It was before Annas. He was the former high priest. He had been the ruler from about AD 7 to AD 14. He was a very powerful man. He was very wealthy. his son-in-law Caiaphas is the present high priest. Now, if you know the scripture, you're saying that's not possible. A high priest was supposed to be a descendant of Aaron. In fact, Aaron's oldest son, and then his oldest son, and then his oldest son, all the way down. And the high priest was the high priest for life. How could Annas have been the high priest and now another guy be the high priest? That doesn't work. Well, it doesn't work because by the time the Romans took over, they took over everything, and the Jewish people gave up their rights. But in order to keep their positions, the Romans allowed them to appoint people to be in leadership. So they appointed Annas to be the high priest, and now they've appointed Caiaphas to be the high priest. And so they're just going through the motions. We saw in chapter 18, verse 19, they were questioning Jesus. The high priest questioned Jesus about, and listen to this, this is the key. Annas brought Jesus in and he said, I want to know about your disciples and about your teaching. Two things. Jesus would not talk about his disciples. So he protected them. Remember we talked about his power and his protection several weeks ago? We saw Jesus' power and we saw his protection. He is not even going to talk about his disciples because his plan is for them to be safe, for them to get away, for them. Remember when they came to arrest him that night, Jesus said, you've got me, let these men go. Now there's questioning him. He said, I want to know about your disciples. We'd like to have a list of their names. Jesus didn't even talk about their disciples. He talks about his teaching. In verse 21, he said, why do you question me? Question those who've heard what I spoke to them. They know what I said. You remember what happened? As soon as Jesus said that, the guy reaches over and knocks Jesus right in the face. Hits him in the face. Jesus said, no, wait a minute. If I've done something wrong, tell me what I did wrong. If I didn't do anything wrong, why'd you hit me in the face? I want you to understand this trial before Annas is illegal for three reasons. It's held at night. The trials could not be held at night under the Sanhedrin rules. Number two, there are no witnesses called. They're asking Jesus to testify against himself. You can't do that. And then the third one is they hit him. You know, you can't punish someone till the judgment is rendered. So they've already done three things that are wrong. They're all illegal. Now, from this, they're going to take him away. In fact, look at verse 24. So Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. So they're going to take him away. Now, in between, we saw the three denials of Peter. It was really, really, really sad. Verse 27 says, Peter then denied it again, and immediately a rooster crowed. We ended with this last week, that it broke Peter's heart. And when we fail, take heed lest you think you stand, you fall. We could all look at Peter and say, could you believe you could? Why do you deny him right in front of all those people after all he's done for you? And we could say it right now to all of us in this room. What has he done for us? He's given us eternal life. He's saved us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He empowers us. He's with us day by day. We have the Word of God. We have everything from our Savior Jesus Christ. Do we deny him? Oftentimes we do. So we can't get on Peter. Take heed lest you think you stand, you fall. It broke Peter's heart. And when we fail, it ought to break our hearts. Well, watch what happens. They're going to take him away. And look at verse 28. It just says, then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium. I got to stop there. It just said in the other verse that they were taking him from Annas to Caiaphas. And then we get to verse 28 and it says, then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium. What happened? John doesn't even record the next two trials. You know, it's just amazing that John records six chapters of what happened in the upper room. Jesus teaching that final night. He didn't record but one of the trials before the Jewish people. So what's going to happen? Well, let's see what happened. I want you to take and hold your place and turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. We'll start about verse 57. Now remember, the last thing that we saw in the Gospel of John is they left Annas and they're taking him to Caiaphas. What happens? I hope everybody's there. Matthew 26, we'll start at verse 57. Look what happens. Those who had seen Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were gathered together. Now I want you to understand that the first trial was one person. It was Annas questioning him. It was at night. It was illegal. They hid him. All of those things. Now they go to Caiaphas' house. They brought in other of the Sanhedrin. Now remember, the Sanhedrin is the ruling body of the nation of Israel. There were 70 men. 70 men, one including the high priest. They, when one of the 70 men would die, The other 69 would choose someone to take their place. Whenever they voted from the youngest to the oldest so that the youngest would not be influenced by the oldest. They were the ruling body of Israel. Now, as far as Israel was concerned, they were important. As far as Romans were concerned, Romans said, we'll let you do your thing. This is the reason that Caiaphas was so worried about Jesus. He was afraid that there was going to be an uproar and the Romans would come in and take away their positions of authority. So now they've come together. It says they have seized Jesus, led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were gathered together. So it's a, and once again it's illegal because it's at night. Number two, it's an informal meeting. And we find that this man, Caiaphas, is the one that had already said earlier that Jesus needed to die. Rather than the whole nation have trouble, it's expedient that this one man die for the nation. He didn't realize it, but he was saying the truth. Jesus died for everybody. It's expedient that Jesus die for us so that we can have eternal life and that we won't go to hell. That's the bottom line. So look what happens. Verse 59. Now the chief priests and the whole council kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus so they might put him to death. They did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward, but later on two came forward. Now let me stop for a second. In the first trial, did we pass one or something? Let me see. Yeah, in the first trial, before Annas, there were no witnesses. In the second trial, they're false witnesses. See, in the first trial, they said, tell us. And Jesus said, why don't you go ask everybody else? Don't ask me. And they hit him in the face. In this one, they're bringing in false witnesses. They didn't find any. Verse 60, though many false witnesses came forward, but later on, two came forward and said, this man stated, I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. Now, two men came and said, here's what we heard him say. I am able to destroy this temple and build it back in 3 days. Now, that's a pretty strong statement. Now, if you remember, this is back in John chapter 2. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to destroy the temple or I'm able to destroy the temple. He said, destroy this temple and I will build it back in 3 days. And he was talking about his body. He wasn't talking about the Jewish temple because that's what they were going to do. They're going to kill him and he's coming back 3 days later. They misunderstood him. In fact, in John chapter 2, verse 19, it says, Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews said, it took 46 years to build this temple. You're going to raise it up in 3 days? But Jesus was speaking of the temple of his body. So they made an accusation and said, he said he was going to destroy the temple and bring it back in 3 days. Everybody knows it took 46 years to build it, and they weren't even through with it then. They weren't even through with it then. So look what happens. This man stated, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. The high priest stood up and said to him, do you not answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you? He says, they're telling that you said you're going to destroy the temple and build it back in 3 days. What are these people saying against you? What does Jesus do? But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest said to him, and I'm going to stop for a second. Jesus kept silent. What does Isaiah say? Like a lamb led to the slaughter, he did what? He opened not his mouth. He's not defending himself. He's not defending himself. See, his plan isn't to say, well, listen, if I just had a good lawyer, I'd get off. Right? That's not his plan. His plan is not to get off. His plan is to die for us. His plan is to go to the cross and die for us. And here they are trying him. And they said, don't you hear what all these people are saying against you? But Jesus kept silent. Sometimes when people make accusations against you, the very best thing to do is be quiet. You can't defend yourself against everything people say. They can say all kind of stuff. You just have to say, listen, I don't even have to answer that. My gracious. Jesus didn't even answer. Well, look what happened. The high priest said to him, I assure you by the living God. He said, I'm challenging you by the living God that you tell us whether you are, now watch what he says, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he said, are you the Christ, the Son of God? Are you the Christ? Now, the word Christ means the anointed one of God. This is the one throughout the whole Bible. This is the Messiah. This is the Savior. This is the one they've been waiting for all of history, beginning with Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:15, through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, through David, all the way up. John the Baptist, Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. They're saying, are you the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah? Do you claim to be the Savior of the world? It's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? I mean, any of us want to say, well, I think we're pretty much the Savior? No. Are you the Christ? Look what he said. Jesus said to him, you have said it yourself. That verse, I leave it right there. He said, are you the Christ, the Son of God? You have said it. You got it right. He might have said, good answer. Good answer. You know, that's who I am. The Messiah. The Christ. The Savior. You know what he did? You remember when you started and the Gospel of John shows the seven signs that Jesus did to prove that he's the Christ? There are over 35 miracles. If you go Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, put it all together, there are over 35 different miracles that Jesus did. John only records seven. We talked about that as we went through the book. Why did he do those signs? Because in Isaiah 53 and Isaiah 35, it basically said that when the Messiah would come, the lame would walk, the blind would see, the deaf would hear, the people would be raised from the dead, and the gospel would be preached. Jesus did exactly what the Messiah is supposed to do. They missed every sign. They actually came to him and said, why don't you give us a sign? He said, I'm not going to give you another sign except the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah's in the belly of the great fish 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. The final sign Jesus gave them was his death and resurrection. They still missed it. Now let me tell you, the disciples went, what did he say? They didn't get it. The religious leaders said, he's claiming that he's going to come back from the dead. They knew what he was saying. Jesus said, you got it right. That's the answer. I am the Christ, the Son of God. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John writes, he said, there are many other signs that Jesus did that are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, you would have eternal life. Every one of us in this room, you, I hope and pray that every one of us in this room, that you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You believe that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God, the one who died for you and rose again. He is the one that gives you eternal life. It is that simple. You are saved by faith alone in Christ alone. That's it. So when Jesus says, you said it yourself, he said, you got it right. But he doesn't stop there. Watch what he goes on to say. Jesus said to him, you have said it yourself. Nevertheless, he's going to keep talking. I tell you, hereafter, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Now, when he calls himself Son of Man, that's from Daniel chapter 7. In the Old Testament, in Daniel chapter 7, the Son of Man is the Messiah and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's his title. He just claimed to be God. He just claimed to be the Messiah. He claims to be sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he claims that he's going to come in the clouds as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what he just told them. Let me tell you, is it true? Is Jesus Christ the Son of God? Yes? Is he the Christ? Is he the Messiah? Where is he right now? Seat the right hand throne of God. What's he going to do in the future? He's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now he's going to come into clouds and take us out. Then he's going to come a second time to the earth. Revelation 19, beginning at verse 11. He's coming with the heavens are going to open, and he's coming as the King to judge and rule this world. He is telling these religious leaders, you got it right. That's who I am. I'm the Messiah. I'm the King. I'm going to be at the right hand of the Father, and I'm going to come in the clouds as the ruler of the world. That's what he just tells them. I don't think he beat around the bush there. What do you think? You know, they'd ask him some stupid question like, you going to destroy the temple? And he wouldn't even answer them. Are you the Christ? You got it right. And I'm coming as the King. First time he came to do what? He came to die. The second time he comes to reign. First time he came as the Savior. The second time he comes as the King. It's powerful truth. He is the Son of God who one day will rule as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Look at their response. Remember, this is the second trial. The high priest tore his robe and said, he has blasphemed. What further need do we have of witnesses? What if you didn't bring any good witnesses to begin with? What further need do we have of witnesses? Besides, you have now heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And what did the rest of the little group say? He deserves death. Now, they do all these things wrong. First of all, it's at night. Second, they brought false witnesses. Third, they make him testify against himself. Fourth, what the high priest does when he gets mad, what does he do here? What did he say he did? He tore his robes. Now, what they would do is if somebody tore their robe, if somebody shows extreme emotion, they would actually take and tear their shirt, tear their robe. Now, according to the scripture, the high priest was never to tear his robe. He's violated scripture when he tore his robe. High priest tore his robe and said, "He's blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Behold, you've all heard it." And they said, "What do you think?" And they said, "He deserves to die." So what'd they do? They spit in his face. You ever been spit in the face? Anybody ever spit in your face? Well, I was a little boy once. I was about 5 or 6. And these friends came over to my parents' house, and they had another little boy or something, I think. And I remember we were just standing there, and he went, whoop, spit right in my face. I think I cried. I just couldn't remember that. That was not fun at all. You know, what'd they do here? They spat in his face. They beat him with their fists. They slapped him. You know what they're doing? Look what they're saying. Prophesy to us. You the Christ? Won't you tell us who hit you? Somebody hit him. And one place they said they blindfolded him and hit him on the head and the side. And they were just doing all these things. They were making fun of him. It's at night. It's illegal. It's false witnesses. It's punishment. Notice this. The first trial, the issue was his teaching. In the second trial, the issue was his person. He is the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God, the King of Kings. First trial, tell us about your teaching. Second trial, tell us who you are. Now we're going to see the third trial. Look at chapter 27. Look at verse 1. Now when the morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus to put him to death. They've come together in the morning. They've done one thing right. They've now met in the morning instead of night. That makes it not illegal. And they've all come together, and they've come together to put him to death. Notice verse 2 says, and they bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pilate, the governor. Well, we'd say, wow, is that all that happened? No, there's more information. Now, this trial, this third trial before the Jews, is that the Sanhedrin comes together. I told you they were a while ago, the ruling body. But what happened in this third trial? Well, Matthew doesn't tell us about it. Mark doesn't tell us about it. John didn't tell us about it. But Luke did. So Luke, turn to Luke chapter 22. And we're going to go to verse 66. Luke 22, verse 66. You're seeing the three trials of Jesus before the Jewish people. All illegal. All found him guilty, and the issue was, he's the Son of God. Watch, verse 66 of Luke 22. Now when it was day, the council of the elders of the people assembled together, both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away to their council chamber, saying, now up to this point, they've never had an official meeting. Annas controlled it. Then the Sanhedrin by themselves controlled it. Now they've come to the council. Now it's daytime. Watch what they're going to do. They're going to raise the question. Verse 67. They already know what he said last night, right? If you are the Christ, tell us. Well, he already told them, didn't he? Didn't he say, I'm the Christ, I'm the Son of God, I'm the King, I'm sitting at the right hand of the Father, I'm going to come and King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Didn't he already tell them that? What do they do? Now we got to make this legal. If you are the Christ, and by the way, the way it's written in the Greek, if and is true. If and is true, you're the Christ. Now they're saying, let's assume that you are the Christ. If you're the Christ, tell us. He said to them, if I tell you, you're not going to believe it. You haven't believed anything I've ever said anyway, right? Isn't it amazing how some people, they hear the truth and they go, I've been waiting for this all my life. And there's some people you can tell the truth to them and they go, I don't believe that. Isn't it amazing that you believe the truth? That when somebody told you that there's only one way to God, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him, that he died on the cross and paid for sin and rose again, that you've sinned and come short of the glory of God and you need a Savior, and that the only way you can be saved is not your goodness or works or righteousness or anything, but simply faith alone in Christ alone, you believed it. As Paul would say, they heard the word of God and believed. Thank God you believed. That's the only way of salvation. There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we might be saved. Acts 4:12. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He said, listen, if I tell you, you're not going to believe it. And if I ask a question, you won't answer it. But look what he says. It's pretty powerful. But from now on, he says the same thing he said the night before. The Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. Listen, if they knew Scripture, and they did, they would know that the Messiah, the Savior, was supposed to come into the world, save the world, and be seated at the throne and be the ruler. Jesus says, I'm going to be seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm going to be seated at the right hand of the power of God. That's who I am. Look at their response. They said, are you, wait a minute, let's get this straight. Are you the Son of God then? They're asking. Are you the Son of God? Let us get this straight. He says, yes, I am. Yes, I am. And then they say something like, well, then what further need do we have of testimony? We've heard it from his own mouth. We've heard it for ourselves. He is the Son of God, the Christ, the Savior. Let me just say this to you. I've had people come to me and say, you know, Jesus never claimed to be God. I said, did you read the Scripture? Oh, yeah. I said, I don't think you have. Right? Jesus said, I am the Father of one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I'm the Christ. I'm the one seated at the right hand of God. Are you the Son of God? Yes, I am. I think Jesus pretty much declared that he's the Christ, the Son of God, and the Savior. Didn't you think so? So if anybody ever tells you that Jesus never claimed to be God, take them to these places. Take them to the Gospel of John and show them and say, Jesus Christ is God. He claimed to be God. That's who he is. What are they going to do with him? Now that this third trial is over, look at chapter 23 of Luke. It says, then the whole body of them got up and brought him before Pilate. We have seen the three trials of Jesus before the Jews. What this has been about? The first one, his teaching. The second one, his person. The third one, the charge that he claims to be God. Now they got to go to the Romans. We're going to take him to the Romans. Let's take him to the Romans and say, hey, this man claims to be God. Romans say, so, we got 1,000 gods. We got 1,000 gods. Back every home has their own God. You knew that. In Rome, most every home had its family god to protect the home. Sort of like an alarm system, you know. They just had their god that would supposedly protect their home. This is our family god. So if you came and said, this man thinks he's God, they'd say, so? A lot of people think they're God. What's going to be the charge? The charge before the Romans, he claims to be king. Look at chapter 23 of Luke. The whole body of them brought up and brought him before Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, we found this man misleading our nation and forbidding, what? Forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar and saying that he himself is Christ, a king. Did Jesus pay taxes? Did Jesus pay taxes to the Roman government? He sure did. That's a lie. In fact, one time, he told Peter to go fish and pull some coins out and go pay the taxes with that. And when they came to him one time and they said, should we pay taxes to Caesar? And he said, give me a coin. Whose inscription is this? Whose image is on this coin? Caesar. Then you give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and you give to God, who you're in his image, you give to God what belongs to him. Wow. The charge against the Romans, he's a king. Now I got one other thing I want you to see. Why don't you turn back to Matthew 27? I'm going to go real fast, okay, because we're almost through. Matthew 27. What about Judas? What about this man? What about this man who spent the whole time with Jesus from just about from the beginning, the most trusted of all of them, the one that kept the money, the one that probably was the smartest of all, and yet he betrayed Jesus. And the best we can tell, he never believed in Jesus Christ as his Savior. He's called the Son of Perdition. Jesus said, all of you are clean except one. What happened to Judas when all of this happened? Chapter 27 of Matthew, verse 3. Then Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned. He felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders and said, I've sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, so what? What's that to us? That's up to you. See that to yourself. Now, I want you to see the word When Judas had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse. There are two words that sort of sound alike in Greek. One is metaneo, which means a change of mind, and another is metamelomai, which means to regret something. This is the word here. It means he regretted what he did. It doesn't mean he changed his mind about what he did. Judas didn't go back and say, I now believe in Jesus as my Savior. He went and said, I'm sorry for what I did. I regret it. They looked at him and said, so what? What's that to us? And so he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed and went away and hanged himself. When you reject Jesus, the end is death. It always is. The wages of sin is what? Death. The soul that sins shall die. Death is separation from God. People without Jesus Christ are going to be separated from forever. In fact, we always say that when you believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to live forever. If you reject Jesus Christ, you're going to die forever. That's separation. Next time, we'll see the trials before the Romans. See how that ties together. What have we seen? The trials before the Jews. Annas, the issue was teaching. Caiaphas, the issue was the person of Christ. The Sanhedrin, the charge was that he was the Son of God. Let me give you some applications. Look, let's do this. Let's proclaim our Savior, Jesus Christ. Why have we come together this morning? We have come together. We call ourselves Stillwater Bible Church. We've come together to worship Jesus Christ. We've come together to study the Bible. We've come together to be trained and equipped so that when we put these chairs up and go out this door, we're going all over this community. We're going over this community to proclaim the greatest message of all, and that is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior. Whoever believes in Him has eternal life. He's the anointed one of God, as the Bible calls him. In fact, he is the prophet, priest, and king. He's the prophet who not only speaks the word of God, he is the word of God. He is the priest who offered himself as the final sacrifice for sin. And he's the King of kings and Lord of lords who will rule this world. When we go out these doors, we want people to know who Jesus is. It's all about Jesus. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. We proclaim Christ as Savior and ourselves as slaves of Christ. That's who we are. That's who we are. So when we go out these doors, let's tell them. Now let me just say this. If there's anyone in this room who has never trusted in Christ, because we've talked today and talked about knowing Christ and all this. If you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, right where you're sitting right now, you can believe that He died on the cross for you, He paid for your sin and rose again, and you can trust in Him and Him alone. It's not walking down an aisle. It's not giving your life to Jesus. It's not doing anything. It's not being baptized. It is simply faith alone in Christ alone. So you can put your faith in Christ as your Savior right where you're sitting, and by the authority of the Scripture, the moment you trust in Him, you have eternal life. It's that simple. The second thing to think about is just remember, the final results of the rejection of Jesus is death. We saw it in Judas. Judas went and killed himself, and he's called the son of perdition. Anyone who does not believe in Jesus Christ as Savior will be separated from Him forever. And it's called the second death in the Scripture. It is really sad. It's not something that we want for anybody. The people, the person that if in your life you said, this is the worst person I've ever known, you don't want them to spend eternity separated from God. So just remember, the final results of the rejection of Jesus is death. Let's proclaim to people that He's the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way to come to the Father except through Him. May we proclaim clearly in this community, Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior, the one who died and rose again, and the one who gives eternal life by faith. Heavenly Father, what a great passage. Thank You for Your word, how true it is. Lord, I pray that each one of us in this room, that if we gather together to have friendship and fellowship and love and to worship our Savior, but we've also gathered together to be equipped and trained, to understand the Scripture, to see how it fits together, to be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. And so we just ask You, Lord, that we, as we go out this door, that we will proclaim the greatest truth of all, that Jesus is the Savior, that You would use us, that You would give us opportunities this coming week to share our faith with those who do not know Christ. Lord, we know that if people do not trust Christ, they'll be separated forever. And we don't want that, Lord. We want people to have eternal life, not the second death. Lord, would You use us to tell people about Jesus? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.